listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
I can't help that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
Drink it in, man.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
The love that was given me, and this time I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
And I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Pro Wrestling Cast.
Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome once again to another edition of Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of pro wrestling news and commentary. I'm one of your co-hosts, Mr. Al John Go. Thank you so much for tuning into the show, and we do appreciate that. All of our archive shows are available at ProWrestlingCast.com, and you can also check our show out on YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, of course, iTunes. Like, share, and subscribe to our show. All of our great links to the show and all of our supporting sponsor links and affiliate links are available at ProWrestlingCast.com. We've got links for Amazon. We have links for High Spots, WWE Shop, WWE Network, Pro Wrestling Tee subscription box, a Pro Wrestling Crate. Yes, you could do that as well. T-Blocks is all there. Fandango if you want to get movies. And of course, our primary sponsor there at MagicalJourneysVacations.com. If you and your family are looking at taking a Disney vacation or Universal Orlando vacation or going to Disneyland or do any type of cruise or adventures by Disney, any cruise line, as I mentioned, from Pacific to Celebrity to Carnival, Royal Caribbean, Kristen can help you out there. Just click our link at ProWrestlingCast.com for MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Promo of the week.
comments on ESPN. We heard Paul Heyman's remarks both last week and earlier tonight. Mr. Goldberg, the floor is now yours.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Say never, eh? I never thought I'd be in this ring again. So thank you for the humble return. What makes it so special is that my wife and my son are here to see me live for the first time ever. In January, I got a phone call from 2K and WWE, and I got the opportunity to travel all around the world to promote 2K WWE 17. Now, as I said, it's been 12 years. There's a lot of things I miss in this business. The biggest thing that I miss, other than kicking ass, is being a superhero for the kids all around the world. In this day and age, there ain't enough of us. So going around the world promoting the video game gave me that opportunity. I could go to Germany. I could go to Toronto, and I could go up to the kids and I could shake their hands and I could see in their eyes that I was Goldberg. It gave me okay. Thank you. It gave me the opportunity to be that superhero again. But unfortunately, somewhere along the way, I created a little drama back here at WWE. And what that did was it made me think. And I thought long and hard. And I think that maybe it's better left alone. Maybe I keep it in the video game. But then, Brock Lesnar challenged me to a fight. Himself. He made Paul Heyman, his fat little stooge, do it for him. So that got me thinking. Simon, what would you do? Devastating jackhammer in me. It means Brock Lesnar, you're last.
So Goldberg is accepted. One more match against the Beast, Brock Lesnar. I'm still in awe of what we just witnessed. Goldberg back, challenging the Beast.
Surreal.
Powered by Tascam. Tascam's mini studio creator, US 42, is your new personal production and online broadcast studio featuring a professional quality audio interface and a number of unique real-time effects. The mini studio creator delivers everything you need for your podcast or webcast. Find out more at Tascam.com, part of the Gibson family of brands.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
Check out Kristen's new website, MagicalJourneysVacations.com, for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
MagicalJourneysVacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today.
Thank you once again for tuning in to the program. We do appreciate it. And today, Stephen and I are still on vacation, but we go back to 2015 to the Dallas Comic Con Fan Expo. And this is some great words from Bill Goldberg. Now, we know that Goldberg has recently come on to the scene. You know that he has returned to WWE to face Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. Now, this was taken, of course, before his return, but it's interesting to hear how Bill wants to come back to wrestling, to wrestle in front of his son, talking about WCW, his time there, and his stint in WWE as well. So thank you once again to our friends there at Dallas Comic Con for having us. This is from June 4th of 2015 there at the Dallas Comic Con. Enjoy the words of Bill Goldberg, and until next time, don't forget to tuck your head, and we appreciate you tuning in to Pro Wrestling Cast.
Gentlemen, what is up?
Well, usually I beat the hell out of people that were holding this microphone, and I didn't do too much of it talking in the ring myself. But other than that, you know, it's,
other than screaming,
it's a foreign thing for me, this microphone. I don't know what to do with it.
See, I didn't realize that you were bringing a companion with you.
This is Uncle Louie. Yeah, Louie takes care of all my, all the stuff that I can't take care of.
Well, I was gonna say, you don't need a bodyguard, because honestly, you know, come on.
He is my bodyguard. He's a 14th degree black belt in Jiu-Jitsu. Because he's Jewish.
Well, I am. Let's talk a little bit about the football career first, because that's the thing that impresses me the most, is that a professional NFL player, story career in and of itself, but you wind up separating your abdomen from your pelvis. How does that work exactly?
You ask a defensive or an offensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles named Tim Runyon, the guy who was going to run for office. Mm-hmm. I beat him on the outside, and the quarterback stepped up, and I turned around, and he ear-holed me. And it was on the new field in Atlanta where I wrestled Hogan. And that thing was like concrete. And so when I landed right on my belly, and I ripped my pelvis. I ripped my abdomen off of my pelvis. And then I thought I was never going to be able to do anything. You know, I was drafted by the Carolina Panthers in the expansion draft afterwards. And they obviously didn't know the extent of my injury. But
caveat emptor.
Yeah, you know, and then Dom Capers and I realized that I was going to be one of the first guys cut from the Carolina Panthers. So for me to ever contemplate picking up Big Show after a surgery like that is incomprehensible. But the power of the mind is a very strange thing.
How long were you actually rehabbing before you, I mean, even before you start physical activity again?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half, actually. And it was I just did an interview for Sports Illustrated, and I mentioned it there, but it was the worst time of my life. I had always aspired to be a professional football player. My dream, though it came true, it was cut very short, mostly because of the lack of my talent, but it was exacerbated by the injury, and I didn't have any direction. You know, if there's a lesson to be learned for all you young kids out there, is always have a backup. Always have something that you can fall back on, because my schooling, though it was interesting at the time, I didn't want to be a psychologist by any stretch of imagination. So I didn't, I honestly was very single-minded as a kid. I'm very fortunate that I have a wonderful family that, you know, that taught me as I went, and that you're only as good as your next event. You're only, you're only as good as your next performance. You have to reinvent yourself as you're working at your current job to make sure that, God forbid, something happens, you have something to fall back on. And fortunately, I was able to fall back on my hobbies. I was able to fall back on my car hobby, and then I got into some television. Now I'm into my Muay Thai hobby, and now I'm on TV with that. So I'm a very lucky guy, I really am. But I mean, let's be perfectly honest and call a spade a spade. For a year and a half, I was in the dumps. I was had severe depression, and never give up, ever. Period. End of story. Because the biggest bout you're going to have with anybody is yourself. And once you conquer yourself and know and realize that there truly aren't any limits except for the ones you put on yourself. Hence me being 48 years old and contemplating fighting and going kickboxing. So, if there's a moral to the story, it's always have a backup.
When you were you're in the midst of rehab, you're doing mixed martial arts to basically rebuild your core and to be able to just walk around, let alone do any other kind of physical activity. At that point, were you thinking of anything like professional wrestling?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't thinking of anything but functioning as a normal human being. To be able to go into a sport that's extremely physical, though it's predetermined, I never imagined I would have the ability physically to be able to do that again. And one thing led to another, and thank God for it. But I was able to follow the wrestling career, and you know that. I've been harped on many times in the past from the purists in that I'm not a wrestling, I don't love the sport of wrestling. Well, I love football, and I shouldn't be punished or penalized for loving football and not really following wrestling that much when I was a kid. Now I learned to love it in that I learned to love all these fans out there who are so passionately invested in each of the characters. And I learned the love of the sport itself. I learned the love of certain guys in the sport, but that was absolutely superseded by the devilish, you know, behind the scenes business that likened itself to like a fraternity as opposed to a football team. And we all know how football players don't mesh with fraternities.
It's developmental.
Sure. What was going through your head as you... It's not the massive production that we're used to from WCW.
Oh, no. We were down at Universal Studios. I think that was where I had my first dark match. And, you know, that's like TNA. It's like wrestling in a closet. You know, for me, it's a totally different entity than wrestling in a stadium or, you know, an arena. It was very strange. The first time I went out, they didn't even know what to call me. I wanted to be called the hybrid. If you read my book, that's something I always wanted to be because I was a hybrid of styles. And their comment to me was, well, if you sell merchandise, then you can't trademark that. And I said, I'm never going to sell any merchandise. Nobody's going to care about having a t-shirt with me. I just wanted to go in there and smash people, and hopefully it worked. And provide the fans with something new and exciting, like a Mike Tyson fight. That's all I wanted to do. And I think I accomplished that.
I still have my Who's Next t-shirt. I still have this day. We've got center mic here for questions, and I want to throw it to you. So just, if you could take one memory, just like you had to put something in a time capsule, and you mentioned the book, but if there's one page you can rip out of it and say, this is the one thing I'm going to hold dear for my career as a professional wrestler, what would that memory be?
You know, I've said it many times in interviews, but it was the night that I beat Hogan, but it wasn't the reason why you guys think it was. Does anybody know?
Well, of course he knows.
Tell me why.
Wasn't it because that he didn't tell you anything about the match going in and that he just said, we'll figure it out when we're in there?
That was bad enough, but no.
Nice try.
That wasn't a try. The fact is that since I told you, all I ever wanted to do is play professional football. And one of the reasons, there are a couple of reasons why. Number one, I wanted to follow my brother's footsteps. Number two, I like smashing people and not having to go to jail. And number three, I just love it. It was what I do. I'm a warrior. I mean, I'm a football player. I'm a meathead. That's what I do. I banged my head against lockers before I went out to every match. I mean, who's going to do that? It's a fabricated, fictitious business. Who's going to do that behind the scenes when it's not a production just to get ready? I did it because I took my character very seriously. My character is an extension of me. And hopefully people understood that. And though the monster that I was in the ring was totally the antithesis of who I was outside of the ring, I wanted to show that range because I believe that, you know, one of the sayings that I go by is you kill people with kindness, and if that doesn't work, then you just kill them. It's kind of how I am. I'm either on or off. And these fans, you know, have really done something to me. And, you know, my heel turn, my one 24-hour heel turn, that'll tell you how much I love the fans. It wasn't that I disliked the fans and that I didn't want to give them a heel turn and try to screw with their brain. It's that I didn't want one kid that came to me in a make-a-wish situation thinking that I was a bad guy. For me, that's more important than anything else. Sorry, guys.
What is your question?
Before I state my question, Bill, I wanted to say thank you for being one of the nicest people at this convention. When I was up there, you were one of the most courteous people out here.
Thank you very much.
My question is, in my opinion, the best match you had in your career was with another very good person in the wrestling business, Diamond Dallas Page. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind giving us a bit of backstory about that particular match.
That's a very good question. Dallas was instrumental in my growth in the business. Not only was he probably one of the first wrestlers that I met, but he took his time with me, and he was very anal. The match that he gave me, I think, was 32 pages. It had me spearing him 14 times. I love Dallas, but I had never speared anybody more than once prior to that, sir. And he can tell a story.
before. I speared him a couple times in that match. And, you know, there are certain instances when you truly give yourself 100% to your partner. And every time I was in there with Dallas, I trusted him wholeheartedly. And that's the kind of people you need to be working with.
Next question.
Were you excited about getting Vince Russo into WCW to help you get back into the Monday Night Wars?
No, because Vince Russo was a plant. Vince Russo was sent down from the WWE to spy on us and to purposely turn our program into doo-doo. That's my opinion. But great question. And hold on, before I go any further, and to just give you guys a bit of insight as to who Goldberg is, though I wanted to kill him every single time I saw him, and especially when we had our match, when he was involved, I would not spear him until he put the helmet on his head. That's a story that's out there, but as much as I wanted to kill him, you have to be professional. And I knew that I would have killed him if he wouldn't have been wearing a football helmet. So, even though I want to kill him, I still do. I have compassion for other human beings, except for him. I don't like the Lakers.
Compassion's tricky.
Hi.
What's up, big man?
How do you feel about your winning streak?
I think it's one of the coolest things ever in the history of wrestling. It was something that was not planned by any stretch of imagination, and it was organic. That means it just happened on its own. That was one example, ladies and gentlemen, of a company listening to the public. Okay? Those are few and far between, if you ask me. Of course, I have a lot of opinions about this business. But I think that was, it just happened. Day after day, match after match, just kept building and they couldn't do anything about it, except for feed it. I hate to use that analogy or that term. You know why? Whatever.
Raymond Mercer here. I'm Roydy Mercer's son. You signed my forehead a long time ago. My hair's growing back though. Do you remember that?
You're killing me. Do I remember that? Yeah, I remember it. Do I remember it?
My question to you is,
am I kill
after
you
retired at any point in time?
You heard what I said.
No, I didn't.
Or am I kill you then?
Oh. Yeah, he's still waiting on me.
Oh, well, give me his address.
At any point in time, after you've retired from wrestling, has WWE ever reached out to you to come back, make an appearance?
Nope.
I was really little when you were in the WWE. I don't remember how it went down. All I remember is it probably went down kind of negative between you and them. Am I correct on that?
You know, I was asked again by the Sports Illustrated article the other day of, was there anything that Vince ever promised me that didn't come through? No, there wasn't anything that he ever promised me. I just would have liked him, for him to do the natural progression of what my character should have been. You know, and I'm not a booker by any stretch of imagination. I'm not a guy who comes up with storyline. I'm just a guy who knows what's right and what's wrong and what's realistic, what's not realistic. And if you give me a task, I can make it cooler, more violent than anybody else out there. But I'm not one to give opinions about an angle or anything like that, because I don't know the business well enough, and I'll be the first one to tell you that. I leave that to the pros. Now, if they want me to turn this situation into the most violent, gory thing that they've ever seen, hand it to me. You know, but I tried to kind of stay in my wheelhouse. But, you know, my experience there was very tumultuous. You know, I try to repress my days in the WWE, but the reality is there was a couple good days there. And, you know, I was getting up in age. I was older than most of the guys in wrestling, except for Callaway, who's like 115 years old now. And he's an unbelievable icon to look up to. I've known Mark for 25 years. But, you know?
Just a thank you as a parent to a parent. When your child goes through the stage where there's monsters, you know, and they're waking me up every night, were just hoping to get out of that stage to get some sleep. We put posters on my daughter's all four walls of you, and she slept all night, and I'd say, how'd you sleep? Goldberg chased the monsters away, so thank you for so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you for sharing that story. That means a lot.
Well, you mentioned a few, but who are your favorite wrestlers of past and present?
That I worked with, or period?
Period.
My favorite wrestler, I'd have to say, was Bruiser Brody. He was my favorite wrestler. There's a reason for me saying that here, because when I grew up, I watched Texas Championship Wrestling. That's what I watched. Von Erichs. Tony Atlas, Jimmy Snuka, Bruiser Brody, Bundy. Brody was the man. I mean, I would have loved to be a heel because I would have made Brody look like a babyface. Because the way he did stuff, I just would have ramped it up. I mean, it was unbelievably awesome. He forever would be my idol in the business. Now, Nikita Koloff, Ivan Putski, Nikita, there were certain people that I really enjoyed watching and that I'd take, I took the tongue thing from Hawk from the Road Warriors. Okay? I did there's something I took from Nikita, but I changed it all and made it mine. You know, I took a little piece from this guy and that guy and that guy and formed, Goldberg.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Another guy that I really liked working with was Kurt Hennig. Kurt Hennig was an absolute angel in my life when it came to the wrestling business because he taught me a lot and he didn't have any ulterior motives.
Hello.
Hello.
Basically, I've been following wrestling for over 20 years, and since I saw your name on the Fenix Hill lineup, I was like, oh, just whoa. It's basically the reason that I bought the ticket to come here. And I've also followed Lucha Libre for over 20 years. So my question is, have you ever had the chance to rebuild or build a career in Mexico with luchadores? Which one can you think of that you would like to have a really serious rival?
Del Rio. Wouldn't that be a good one? I've never wrestled. We were supposedly going to have a kickboxing match against each other, but I turned it down because it was way too soon. I'm going to see him in a couple weeks. Maybe we'll talk about that.
Thank you.
Hey, Goldberg.
What's up, my friend?
Not much, man.
You got a sleepy one there?
Yeah. Well, he's shy.
It's all good.
We've been a big fan of wrestling. My son, I thought he would be one of his favorite wrestlers, one of the current wrestlers of now, but no, it's you. He started out with The Rock, but when y'all had that feud, he switched to you. He wanted to tell you that little character y'all did when you started in WWE, but he's shy to say it.
It's all good, man. I can tell. I can tell. I appreciate it. You give him a big hug and kiss for me and tell him that the reason why I did what I did is because of fans like him.
Hi, Joe Prater here. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned about when you injured your abdomen.
Yes, in the
psychological effects that happen. What about when you injured your wrist? When you smashed the windshield?
That was pretty stupid. That was a self-inflicted wound. I have an anger issue sometimes, and Scott Hall, I wanted to turn his face into hamburger meat that night because he'd done something backstage, but it's not representative of a guy trying to lead a company. And I took it upon myself to forego smashing the limousine with a sledgehammer, like was in the plan. And I kind of did it with my hand. And I was violently perturbed at that point. And so going through that, I didn't feel any pain, really. I knew what happened. I didn't feel any pain until I got back. I came within a centimeter of losing the use of my right arm. Not many people know that. Not many people know either that they sewed me up. And there was still glass in my arm, so they had to call in a plastic surgeon and redo it. It was a pretty dumb evening for me.
I learned a lot, though, from it, and I'm very fortunate in that I didn't lose a lot from it. So keep your anger in check, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing good can come of it.
Hi, Caitlin here. I just wanted to ask about how your experience with your fans has been.
Yeah. Here?
Yeah.
Couldn't have been better, darling. You know, you guys are wonderful. I mean, one of the things that I miss about living out in California is the people in the Midwest. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Grew up there 17 years. And I miss you guys. I really do. Those people out in California are a little weird for me. So all I can say is coming back to Dallas is like coming back home for me. You guys will be wonderful.
Well, I want to thank you for my experience with you today and tell you that I will support you through anything. I'm a lifelong fan.
I love you, darling. Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, things like that, you know, that you hear once in a blue moon really make it all worthwhile. All I ever wanted to do playing football was be somebody that kids could look up to, that kids could follow in their footsteps and set a good example for them. Wasn't able to do that in football. Fortunately, I got a second chance and I did it in wrestling. So for that, I'll be forever indebted to them.
Will, how you doing?
I'm exhausted, man.
My name's Steve. When the short dealings you had with Brock Lesnar, was he as much of an arrogant punk man as he is now?
You guys know a little bit about me, just based upon what I've said in this Q&A. Brock is one of my best friends. He's a wonderful guy. He's one of the three people that I still talk to in that entire business. Brock's no different than me. He's just a little younger and you know, has benefited from some experiences of his elders. He's a very good businessman, and he's a hell of a worker in the ring. And I personally don't believe that there's anybody on the planet that could give him more of a run for his money than me, whether I'm 48 years old or not. So I love Brock to death. And, you know, stuff like, you know, are you a UFC fan? Okay, remember what he did in the UFC to turn everybody off with the Bud Light thing or the Coors Light thing? Well, nobody knows the backstory of stuff like that. He was completely in the right there. Completely in the right. Now, he went a little overboard with what he said, but he was completely in the right in that instance, but nobody knows the story. So you pass judgment on him, like a lot of wrestling fans pass judgment on me, that I'm some arrogant football player who didn't like the business. Well, I'm a football player, and I didn't like the parts of the business, but for the most part, I'm just no different than anybody else in here that doesn't put up with a lot of crap when he doesn't have to. That's all.
How's it going, Bill? Adam here.
Nice to see you.
One of my favorite matches is the Elimination Chamber that you had when you speared Chris Jericho through the glass. Can you just kind of talk through that match a little bit? Whose idea for that spot was it?
Man, I don't know, but I can probably tell you that 100% it wasn't mine. Like I said, because I don't, if it's a small spot and they want it to be violent, I can do it better than anybody else. If it's a small spot and they want to tell a story, or it's, you know, it's just a little chain wrestling or storytelling, I'm not the guy. I think Arn came up with that, to be honest with you, because he did most of my stuff. But I can't remember. I mean, that was a great match. I very much enjoyed it. I remember every bit of it. And it was probably by far my best match in the WWE.
How's it going?
Good.
You can imagine the movie The Longest Yard. How was it being on set with all those different types of characters?
It was awesome. The best thing about The Longest Yard was Adam Sandler had girls in bikinis bringing us protein shakes every day. But I'm married, so it didn't matter. It was wonderful because there were a lot of like-minded guys together having fun. Adam's movies are mainly with his friends. We weren't his friends at the time, but we are now. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great atmosphere. Awesome atmosphere. And let's be perfectly honest, I got to put a helmet on and buckle a chin strap and headbutt people. It was awesome.
Have you given any thought to hitting acting with a little more fervor? Because I mean, we know you've got more in you than Santa's sleigh. I mean, let's be frank.
Santa's sleigh is a cult classic, and I loved it because I met my wife there, and I had a wonderful time in Edmonton. I mean, they took great care of me. It was during the hockey season. I'm a huge hockey fan. Man, I got to. You guys aren't gonna. Not one of you are gonna be my fans after I tell you this story. You asked about the coolest moment of my wrestling career, and you mentioned referencing my book. Well, the coolest moment in my book that I've ever had in sports that I was kind of removed from. Remember, who's a hockey fan of you? You guys remember a guy named Brett Hull who played for the Dallas Stars?
He's the reason we have the cup.
Okay, I was my brother and I were Brett Hull's guests at the seventh game against New Jersey here in town. I was sitting with Brett's wife, and for me it's a huge honor. I'm a huge hockey fan. Brett's his dad, he Hall of Famers, and they're crazy great guys. But they lost. Then I go upstairs with he and Guy Carbonneau. I think it was Guy. Guy was on the team, or was it Cicerelli?
Guy was on the Cubs team, yeah. Cubs teams.
So we went upstairs, had a drink. They're veterans. They've been in the league 100 years. So the season was over. They wanted to go home. So they go home, and my brother and I go down to the loading dock to catch our car, and somebody yells out, Goldberg! It was a guy named Scott Steven. No, excuse me. It was a guy named Scott Gomez. Scott Gomez was the rookie of the year that year for the New Jersey Devils, who just so happened to be the team that beat Dallas that night when I was the guest of Brett Hull's wife. I approached the locker room thinking twice to 10 times about what I was about to do. And I took a step in and they wouldn't let me in. And the guy says, you don't understand. I said, you're right. I guess I don't understand, but it's cool. I have no, this will probably save my relationship with Brett if you don't let me in. He goes, no, you don't understand. He looks at me, I'm still wearing the Dallas Star shirt and the hat. So he takes the hat off of my head, throws it on the ground, takes the hat off of his head and puts it on my head and said, go ahead. It was Scott Stevens. Within 5 seconds, they ripped my shirt off, which was the Dallas Stars shirt, and I'm posing with no shirt on with Ken Danico, Scott Stevens, and I proceeded to drink out of the cup. Well, I leave the locker room, and I turn the corner, and who did I see? Brett Hull. As I'm wearing the New Jersey Devils hat and shirt, he looks at me and... Next morning, I flew out at 6 o'clock in the morning, flew to New York to Regis and Kathy Lee, and the first thing they introduced me, and I walked out and I said, Regis, Kathy Lee, I'm sorry, I gotta do this. I looked at the camera and I said, Brett, what would you have done? I mean, seriously, would you, and he was cool with it. But that, another cool experience I had here was I lived in the Anatole for 2 months when I did Universal Soldier with Van Damme down in Waxahachie, or mispronounce it. How do you
say it? No, pronounce it correctly. Yeah.
Okay, then what's so damn funny about it? That it was the ant capital of the world? I remember that.
It was just like, you had to almost spit the word out. And trust me, it living awesome. Here, we do the same thing. It's fine.
I had a great time. It was wonderful. You guys are wonderful. So,
yeah, it's cool. Question.
Hey, Goldberg, what's up, man?
What's up, man? I like your...
Say you have an amazing haircut.
So I took the words right out of your mouth. Thank you very much, dude. Very much.
You're active now. I mean, it's weird to say retired professional wrestler because you've got your irons in a lot of, or you got a lot of irons in the fire. What do you got going on right now? Tell the folks.
Well, I just got back from Amsterdam. Hence me not sleeping 1 minute last night. That's why I'm so tired. I went over there for Glory. I'm with Glory Kickboxing now. Like I said, they offered me a fight in the beginning, and it's just as a wrestler,
and a realist and a businessman than coming in 2 months and fighting 2 months after your introduction. It doesn't make any sense. So I came in and I did a top 10 knockout show for him and did a countdown show, and I just completed in Amsterdam the countdown show for Glory 22, which is June the 5th on Spike. And I love kickboxing. I co-own a Muay Thai gym in Oceanside, California. And since I can't eat 15 to 20,000 calories a day now, and wake up at 6 in the morning and drink a half a pot of coffee and go to the gym because I'm watching SpongeBob with my kid. You know, it's another mental game you play with yourself, because I like walking around knowing that I can pick any 300-pound dude up over my head. Well, your joints and your tendons can't take that after a certain age, considering I used to do like good morning lifts with 525. I mean, your body just can't take it. So what Muay Thai has given me is the ability to destroy another human being in a much different way. So for me, it fills that void. And I mean, you know, I'm not a mass murderer by any stretch of imagination, but I just like to compete. And I like the physicality of it, and I don't mind getting hit. And I just train with the world heavyweight champion in Glory Kickboxing. I train with, you know, one of the lightweight contenders. I trained at Ramon Decker's father's and brother's gym in the Netherlands. I mean, that is a huge honor. But for me, again, I'm following a passion of mine, a hobby, a fun thing for me. So hopefully I'll be the CEO of Glory one day. Hopefully I'll be fighting for Glory one day. I got a lot of ideas. You know, we got a movie coming up in June. We got two car shows. Hopefully it'll hit with Lionsgate here soon. And I've got the ability to put a wrestling match together with my own promotion anytime I want. So then there's that. I'd love to wrestle one more time, or 10 more times, or whatever. It has to be realistic. But I want to do it for my kid. And that's the only reason why I do it. I want to do it for you guys, too. There's no question about it. But my son needs to watch me do my thing.
Well, with a big show coming here next year, the granddaddy of them all at AT&T Stadium, and if the fans got out there and made WWE listen that we want to see Goldberg back in the ring again, I don't think there'd be a problem in the world making that happen.
Never know, man. Never know. I'd love nothing more than to come back here to Dallas and serve somebody up on a platter for you guys. Believe me.
I'd take it. I'd buy that ticket.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Your haircut is quite fine itself.
Oh, I know it. Growing up, my brother and I watched WCW all the time. We played wrestling on the trampoline in the backyard.
I was blaming me for that crap. I don't want your parents coming and suing me because you were spearing people on the trampoline.
That's the therapy.
It was only my little brother. It's okay.
As long as he's in your family.
But growing up, you and Sting were my two favorite wrestlers. I was just wondering how it was fighting against him and how he was, because I knew he came up with the Ultimate Warrior and all that.
Sting's one of the guys. Sting's probably the main reason why I finally made the decision to pull the trigger and go into wrestling, because of his family life and his ability to go do his thing in the ring and yet look himself in the mirror when he gets home. Sting's a wonderful human being. He's a wonderful wrestler, and it was an honor of mine just to step in the arena with him, let alone step in the ring with him. So WWE needs to give him more than what they're doing. And obviously, we know what they've done in the past with me, and now it looks like they're doing it with him. And I won't tell you I told you so, but...
Dude, it's a gas having you here. I know that the fans have really enjoyed being able to see you and tell you how much they appreciate it. I've appreciated watching you throughout your career, and I can't wait to see what you got coming up next, man. Sincerely.
I appreciate
it. Give it up for the big man, Bill Goldberg!
Thanks for checking.
checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.